Okay, so
this is a question by Gornitai Prabhu. He's saying that in the Varnashram book, in the 7th chapter, when you're describing control of the mind, you're quoting Srila Prabhupada, where he says that controlling the mind, sama, doesn't mean that we let our mind act whimsically. And he finds it strange that the mind can act. We know that the senses act.
I've noticed that after 30 years, the mind is acting.
He says that the mind rejects and accepts, but what does it mean that the mind acts?
Yeah, that's how it acts, that it rejects and it accepts. Well, ultimately, it's the soul that acts, but the soul is in a bewildered condition. And so, therefore, the senses, it acts through the senses and the mind and the intelligence, it acts. And so, when the mind is not under control, when it's not under the control of the intelligence, under superior guidance, then the Shastra Vidhidhutsuja, Kama Karata, Kama Isha, Kuda Isha, then those accumulated bad habits that are uncontrolled, unregulated, will force the mind to focus on something that's unconstructive, unproductive, or that further entangles it in material activities. So that's, therefore, controlling the mind is the basis of yoga, controlling what the mind does. If you can't control what the mind thinks of and goes to, sankalpa, vikalpa, then there's no question of spiritual life. And for us, the sadhana for controlling the mind is to get it, fix it on chanting on the holy name. And then?
This is a question by Sadhu Priya Prabhu. He's saying that sometimes people have minority complex. They think
inferiority
complex.
Minority complex.
They think that they're inferior than others in different ways. And how do we deal with this kind of attitude? And we know that we always should feel inferior to our spiritual masters and senior devotees. But when we meet karmis, what is our attitude towards them? And what is our attitude when they have this kind of an inferiority complex?
An inferiority complex is someone who has some, certainly has a lot of misunderstandings about who they are, and they may try to compensate for that by making more of themselves than what they are. And I guess that can also be in the spiritual realm. Someone wants to prove themselves to be some kind of great devotee. For Vaishnavas, devotees engage in service to Krishna. Service, for instance, in terms of preaching, means that you give people what you have, and that may mean that you may be very aggressive about it. But that aggression is part of being humble. Humble doesn't mean you just like a little squeak around like a mouse. But Prabhupada said it's a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. So that's what being really humble means. Humble is to do Krishna's bidding. And you don't think that you're anything great, or don't necessarily think you're anything small. Whether you think that have a superiority complex, inferiority complex. Both of them are equally bad because you're just thinking about yourself. But the whole idea is not to be thinking about yourself, to be thinking about Krishna. And what's my business as Krishna's servant? So, we're very small, we're very tiny, but at the same time, we're very fortunate because we have the opportunity to be Krishna conscious, and we know the process for doing that. And then,
next question is, what is the role of Kali in Krishna's plan in connection to the living entities, and why does Krishna allow Kali's activities?
It's Kali Yuga. There are the divisions of the ages. That's the nature of time. Time kalos me. Time destroys things, and so the influence on the universe, starting from Satya Yuga, ends up with Kali Yuga. And everything has a presiding personality, presiding deity, and Kali is the presiding deity of this age. If there wasn't a Kali Yuga, things were just, things stayed static, although they can't in material time, then people would just be satisfied by standing here in the material world. And even devotees may think this is a good thing, practicing Krishna consciousness in the material world, whereas actually our business, our motto is back home, back to Godhead. So we should want to go back to Godhead. And Kali's in a negative way helping us for that. So, so we should see everything has its role in our becoming Krishna conscious.
His next question is that in Navavraja Mahima we can read about holy places giving blessings that we will reach, the pilgrims will reach the heavenly planets. Is this the blessing we'll get even if we are devotees and this is not what we want?
No, but many pilgrims aren't necessarily going for pure devotion, or they're going for mixed devotion, and they're happy to go to Indraloka and enjoy sense gratification, but at the same time practice the Krishna consciousness they practice there. So they can get that. But if someone wants pure devotional service, then you get by visiting these places, then depending on one's good fortune, then you can get bhava das just by simply going, visiting. And that's why we're meant to go to places of Krishna's pastime. It's part of our sadhana. And at the same time, it gives us all kinds of benefits, both immediate and long-term.
There's a last question, Guruji. There are quotes in Navavraja Mahima which are by unknown poets. How do we know that their mood is still appropriate and they're not some kind of sahajyas?
Well, most those quotes are all probably from Padyavali by Rupa Goswami. And since Rupa Goswami quoted them, therefore they're fine. They're not from sahajas. Lokavichar. So there's the tradition of Lokavichar, which is oral tradition. It's not written down. And because it's oral, therefore, it's either authorized or unauthorized, or at least it's been vetted by great authorities like Rupa Goswami, or it's the sort of things that you hear. When something isn't confirmed by acharyas, then just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada makes sort of statements like, they say this. He doesn't say one way or the other, but somehow or another, he doesn't think that there, it's completely unauthorized, otherwise he wouldn't even put it there. But Prabhupada doesn't take a stand on it. So that's also, and this Lokavichara is a form of evidence. Rupa Goswami starts off his Krishna Ganadesh, Radha Krishna Ganadesh Dipika, saying that most of the things I'm saying are actually from tradition, and some are from Shastra. But then if he accepts it, then it's all right. And although he may actually be more of an authority than Lokavichara, but because that's a standard authority, therefore he accepts that. That would be a lot. Hare Krishna.